Today I'm going to talk about, do a short series for a few weeks on ordinary people, extraordinary God. You know, I'm reading a book by Larry Osborne, Accidental Pharisees, and I like what he said. A lot of times we tend to elevate people when we shouldn't. You know, you read the Bible, like look at Peter. Wow, how cool was that? He went from being a wimp and denied Christ to then he, you know, Jesus is resurrected. He gets full of the Holy Spirit and he's a powerful man of God who failed. When we read Galatians 2, when he was hanging out with the Gentiles, but then some of the Jewish believers came and, oh, I'm not going to hang out with them anymore to look good. We forget the fact that he was fallen. And I like how Larry Osborne says, Paul was arrogant and had an ego, so God gave him a thorn in the flesh. So what am I talking about today? They're no better than us. They don't have this, you know, they're not LeBron James of God, and we're, you know, a junior high player. So we have an ordinary people, extraordinary God. Exodus 1 says, now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land. Therefore, they set taskmasters, slave masters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. They built for Pharaoh store cities, Pithom and Ramses. Lord, speak to us today. How we're going to see how two ordinary women changed the course of history. We're going to see how when people like us submit to you fully without reservation, when we allow you to guide us and not the government, when it's unholy, when we submit to you, Lord, you can do mighty things. I like the Psalm Jan read, says, you know what, God, we deserve hell, torture because of our sin, our rebellion against you, but you don't give us that. You give us love, you give us an olive branch, you reach out to us with Jesus, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to the Father except through me. That when we ask for forgiveness of our sins and I turn my life to you, I am full of the Holy Spirit and I am identified with Jesus, which gives me holiness and righteousness, and I have a one-way ticket to heaven, Lord. So today, let us stand strong and trust you, Father. Let us quit holding back. And let us go forward with you. In your name, Lord, amen. Today, I am talking about steps of faith bring the blessings of God. My first point, broken agreements bring new enemies. You know, verse 1, let me find it. There rose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. What the literal translation is, there is another kind of king. There is a different kind of king. Some people, you know, don't think it's Egyptian because they think it's this one people that came against Egypt. But whatever it is, this new unnamed Pharaoh, he didn't know Joseph anymore. You know, Joseph, we know, went into Egypt and God used him mightily. He was second only to Pharaoh. So now all of a sudden there's a new guy in town. There's a new king in town and he doesn't hold to the agreement with the Israelites. And he looks at him and he gets fearful. Because God's hand is on them and he's blessing them. So now he's fearful and he knows it's a delicate situation. He needs the Israelites to help Egypt grow economically, but he also doesn't want to jeopardize his national security. And it says that he is so unnerved by the Israelites, he comes up with a savage workload in an attempt to control them so that they don't grow, to keep them under wraps. You can't do that to God. They still grew. His best plan was to keep them down, but God moved and the Israelites continued to grow, and God moved powerfully. You know, Isaiah 54 says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." You can try to take God out. You can try to do things contrary to the Bible. It's not going to work. And that's what this king found out. I have this really good plan, and it doesn't work. If we go on in Exodus, it says, "But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread abroad. And the Egyptians were in dread of the people of Israel, so they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves and made their lives bitter with hard service and mortar and brick, and in all kinds of work in the field. In all their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves." Maybe you're doing something in your life. Man, I've listened to God. I know what he's told me to do. And all of a sudden you get a little discouraged. You get a little bummed out. You get frustrated because it ain't going the way you want it to. That's called warfare. What is it? I was talking to somebody this week. Is it Elijah? Where the angel comes and goes, "Hey, I would have been here 3 weeks ago, but I was doing some demonic warfare." So I'm sorry, when we have a plan and God gives us a vision and we move forward, there's one thing that you can count on. You're going to go through a hard time with warfare. Because I'm thinking of it this way. If I want to do something and I don't have any warfare, I better be praying that maybe, you know, old Slewfoot is letting me go, because it ain't God, but it's me. So broken agreements bring new enemies. You know, and we're talking about pride. We're talking about this king saw something and all of a sudden he gets proud. Wow, that is the sin of man. Adam and Eve, did God really say? We see a new gospel taking place in America where all of a sudden there's a new definition of what you can do sexually as a Christian, or how do you get to heaven as a Christian, or no. Can't prevail against God's ways. So let's go on in Exodus. "Then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of them is named Shipra and the other Ua, 'When you serve as midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, she shall live.' But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, 'Why have you done this and let the male children live?' Then the midwives said to Pharaoh, 'Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them.' So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, 'Every son that is born to the Hebrews you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live.'" Fearing God means you got to take a stance. Now, I'm not talking about if the government makes you wear a mask. That's not persecution. Okay? Talk to any pastor how much fun it was 2020 March through like 2022, because y'all are nuts. Worrying about masks, worrying about 6 feet. I don't care what science shows us. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Pharaoh said, "We're going to kill the males. We're going to do infanticide," I think that's how you pronounce it, "in an ugly way to control the population." So he calls these two Hebrew women. You can read Exodus 3 and 4. It talks about the elders of Israel. It doesn't mention one elder's name. You can look at the king of Egypt. What's his name? How important is it? It's not in the Bible. I may not pronounce their names right, and I know when I said, ooh, some of you said there's a P in it. Well, I got an app that tells me how to say stuff in the Bible, so you deal with my app and not me. So we have Shiphrah, and if it makes you happier, Puah. Their name is in there because they obeyed the living God. It ain't up to them. It's up to God who used them, and they said, here am I, God, send me. I read a biography by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He's Germany, he's a pastor, he was a spy, and it's really kind of a cool book because he was talking about, he got on the good graces of the Nazis, so to speak, but he lied to them. Because he was involved in a plot which ultimately led to his death to assassinate Hitler. So I'm reading a book and they're talking about the mind exercises he had to go through. It's okay for me to lie to them for the common good. These women lied to the king. These Hebrew women are unbelievable. They had babies before we can even get there. I'm thinking these two women weren't Bible scholars. They probably didn't know the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. They didn't because it wasn't written yet. But they knew right from wrong. See, that's part of the fight we see in the church today. We don't know right from, we do know right from wrong, but to get our ears tickled, we lean toward the people that cut some slack to sin. It's not about these two super women. They ain't Wonder Woman. They are two ordinary people that let an extraordinary God use them. They feared God. They weren't generally afraid of him. It doesn't mean when I fear God, I'm afraid of the big old boogeyman. What it means is I am afraid of my consequences of disobedience. A lot of times, if I'm going through a hard time, or if you're going through a hard time, I would encourage you to pray, Lord, am I doing what you want me to do? Because we don't understand that the disobedience will bring the blessing of God, will remove the blessing of God. When I walk out from under the umbrella of God's protection and obedience, I'm on my own. And sometimes life sucks because I've made some real stupid choices. Douglas Stewart's right about these two women. These women clearly feared what God could do to them after death more than the death that Pharaoh could do to them. That's how we live. Matthew 10, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him and who can destroy both soul and body in hell. If you have an NBA team and you're not going to make the championship, in fact, you kind of stink. What they try to do, even though it's against the rules, is I'm going to tank some games. Rather than play LeBron James or Carmelo Anthony, I'm going to put Beaumont in. Because we know then, ain't no way we're going to win. Now, we know it's against the rules, but you know, my best players just happen to have a hamstring pull, so we're not going to play them for a couple weeks. We're going to lose a bunch of games. Why would you do that? Because then you get a really good draft pick. Then you get somebody like, you look at, I can't remember his name, who the Spurs drafted number one last year, and all of a sudden they're a good team. They went from being like the worst to one of the worst to being the best. These midwives tanked it. They had one job to do, deliver babies, male dead, woman live. They didn't do their jobs. Should have been fired. How powerful were these two women? You're just as powerful. When you submit to God, when you say, God, I'm just an ordinary Yahoo, read Corinthians. I choose the wonderful, wise things of the world. No, I choose the foolish things of the world. I will be a fool for Jesus any day. I would rather use his strength and talents and gifts than mine. I like this guy I read about, James Anderson. He's called Britain's kindest plumber. He gives free service, and he tells his employees, if you go to an elderly person, especially if they have terminal illness, you charge them nothing. So one of his workers, they go to this, her boiler blew up, they put a brand new one in, they gave her a bill, said, $0. This guy is helping people. He's going against the practices of the world. Years ago, I had to go to a doctor for something every 2 weeks. This is like 30 years ago. $110 bill. One day it was $180. So I said to the lady as I checked out, how come it's $70 more? Did you ask him a question? Okay, Lord, you tell me a gentle answer, turns away wrath. I didn't say a word, but my look said it all. She goes, yeah, I'm going to erase that. They gave me a consultation fee. That's the world. I'm going to take all I can from you. That plumber, that he don't do what the world tells him to do. These two women took a stance for God. I don't know if we're going to come to the day in this country and in this state when Christians face persecution. I think we will. I think there's a day that me as a pastor, if I talk about what God says marriage is, and you talk against same-sex because God, it's not of God. I understand temptation, I get that, but it's not from God and I have to obey the Bible, then that could be considered a hate crime. Do I think that's far-fetched? Absolutely not. But sometimes serving God means lovingly. I like what read in Psalm 103. That's supposed to be our heart attitude too. We don't beat sinners over the head. We don't tell them that they're no good, destined for hell. We befriend them, we love them, so we can open a door to speak truth to them. We don't come against them militantly because then my sin isn't any greater than theirs. These midwives could not justify obeying Pharaoh, so they refused, and God used them in powerful ways. I think that's incredible. This one example just came to my head, and of course I can't remember the names. When they're supposed to kill this enemy dude, and the guy chickens out, so the woman does it, and she gets all the glory. God bless her. Very ordinary person. You know, you guys aren't ordinary because you have an extraordinary God who lives inside of you if you've accepted Christ. Yes, I understand personalities. Yes, believe me, I understand insecurity. But I know that when I say yes to God and I let him move and use me, then he can do powerful things, not because of me, but because I get out of the way and I let God move through me. So New Covenant, you know what I want you to do? I want you to be extraordinary for the Lord. I'm having coffee with a friend of mine yesterday at Dunkin', and this girl was here, and I knew the Lord said, I just wanted to say something easy to her. So I'm having coffee, and she got up. I said, good, maybe she's leaving. She didn't. So we left, and I just went over, and I did a brief summary about Christ loves her. Why am I using a stupid example like that? Well, it ain't stupid if you're sharing the Lord, but I'm the stupid part in that example. We got to trust God. Because I look at my words, I look at what I'm saying, and it's like, newsflash, it's not you. You're just the vessel. You could say goobly gobbly, and if the Holy Spirit's in it, they're going to hear what you're saying. So we have to trust God. So all throughout the Bible, we see how God uses everyday people. In Corinthians 1, I told you, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. Why does he do that? Because when I'm weak and when I'm unwise, when I'm foolish, I'm going to trust him. When I think I'm all that in the bag of chips, as a friend of mine would say, I'm not going to trust God because, come on, he's kind of fortunate to have me on his side. Let's be real. Man, I love the New York Knicks. I like them a whole lot more this year than in the past. But I remember about 10 years ago, they had Carmelo Anthony, who went to SU, and I thought, this is great. But then there's a guy, Then there was a guy, Jeremy Lin. Remember Lin's sanity? There was no-name player who caught fire, and he did incredible things for the Knicks. In fact, he did more than Carmelo Anthony did. So here's an ordinary person that was used, and he was a Christian too. I thought that was cool. So faith is trusting God with the consequences when we obey him and not society. I've used the example before, Voices of the Martyr. There's a secret church meeting in Vietnam, and the communists come in. And they go to the pastor and to the people, and they say, if you spit on this, we will let you leave. Pastor gets up, drops a loogie on it, out the door. Another guy gets up, spits on it, out the door. 13-year-old girl bends down, wipes it off. Oh, I love Jesus. Boom! They killed her. What a blessing they did for her. She went from hearing about Jesus to being with Jesus. Oh, I don't fear death. Could you see that? Jesus, I love you. Boom! Can you imagine the reception she got when she entered glory? Huh? Can you imagine the reception the pastor got? Bet you it wasn't the same. Oh, I bet you Jesus loved her. Come on in, man. Let's have a conversation. But what I'm talking about today is God wants to use us. I'm not talking about miracles. I'm talking about God has called us to Oswego, New York. God has called you to your neighbors. God has called us to this location. You know, in the past, I haven't been a big fan of this building, but praise God that we have it. So faith is trusting God with the consequences when we obey him and not the society. Now, I'm not talking about rebellion. I'm not talking about, well, I don't like taxes, so I'm going to rebel. Well, Jesus said pay him, so get over yourself, will you? If God has you in New York State, God wants you to pay New York State taxes. Deal with him. He wants us to be righteous. It saddens me when I see Christians start accepting abortion. When we start accepting sexuality, why do you talk about that a lot? Because society does. We must be a sick nation, because there's one show we watched together Monday night at 9 on CBS, starts with the N, ends with a CIS. Do you know how many medication commercials there are at 9 o'clock at night? Holy cow, it must be geared for old people. I mean, I see like 10 prescription things, and they show really wrong lifestyles. Why? Because they want our young people to accept sin. And God says, no, this is wrong. So I'm not talking about rebellion. I'm talking about I'm going to live the way God tells me to, even when it, hello church, hurts relationship with other people. Sometimes being righteous is going to end my relationship with other people. And it has. See, God uses people like Pua and Chipra who fully give themselves over to God. Serving God means we find it necessary to go against the practices that make sense to the systems of the world. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Okay, we got to get that part down. God doesn't ask my opinion. Sometimes God does stuff, it does not make sense to me. But I trust God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. God does not call extraordinary people. God calls ordinary people, and then He will make them extraordinary by His grace. The Lord looks at our hearts. He looked at the character of people. I heard Mike Webster do a great teaching on this once. You know, you have gifts, you have calling, and you have character. For years, the church has got it wrong. We look at the gifts. We look at somebody's talents. We go, No, the first thing you do is you look at their character, and you look at their commitment, because we're here to build the church of Jesus Christ. So we need to trust Him as He uses us for His purposes. Now, what's going to happen? God is going to tell you to do something, and you are going to get afraid, and your heart is going to beat a little faster, and you're going to start to sweat. Faith moves past the fear. Oh, and there's going to be times you're going to miss the boat, and you're going to mess up. Join the human race. That's when you repent and you turn to God and you say, you know what, God? Here's your cry for today. I'm going to be a pool for God. Or if you want to say it the right way, I'm going to be a ooh for God. Amen. So summary, God uses ordinary people in an extraordinary way. Look at these two midwives. Look at how God used them, changes the course of history because they did the right thing. Look to God, not yourself. God isn't fazed by our limitations. Faith means we have to obey God over man. So I'm working at a job once at the nuclear plant, and I'm working nights. And my boss, he was a character. So he pulls in once, like 4 hours late. He goes, "Hey, I was in Syracuse, but don't tell anybody." I got bills. I got a temporary job. I said, "Lord, speak to me." I said, "You know what? I am not going to go looking for trouble, but I'm not going to lie for you. If somebody asks me, I'm going to tell them the truth." And he understood that. He accepted it. God gives us wisdom when we need it. So faith means we obey God over man. Shipra and Ua knew the right thing to do. They chose to obey God and do it. Trust God at all times. Have faith in His outcome. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that the Bible is full of you taking people that were everyday, ordinary people. They weren't stellar. They weren't somebody. I mean, we look at the definition of Jesus. He wasn't anybody that, you know, he wasn't glamorous that we'd look at him. You see, Lord, you choose people who want to follow you. They want to trust you. And they want to glorify you. I understand, Lord, that me being a Christian means my life has to reflect your character. That my life has to live best of my ability according to your word. We are not called to fit in. Yes, Paul writes, "Be all things to all people so that you might win some." It means we're not supposed to be out there, but we're supposed to have your wisdom. How do we interact with the certain people you place in our lives? But I don't want to get to the place where if a friend of mine finds out I'm a Christian, they say, "You're a Christian?" I want to be different, Lord. I want to reflect you in this world. Everybody in this room that has a relationship with you, Jesus, they're a light in a dark world. You created us with our personality. Some are more quiet, some are more outgoing. But you will use us according to the gifts that you've given us, according to our personalities, to glorify you. Lord, I do marvel at how powerfully you use these two women. Let everybody here know you are speaking to them. When we say, here am I, send me, Lord, you can do mighty things through us. You will give us the words to speak. You will give us the power and the grace to do whatever you call us to, Lord. Let us no longer listen to the lies of the devil, which highlight our weaknesses, which highlight our past failures, and sometimes our present failures. Let us move past them. Let us seek your forgiveness, and let us walk in your favor. Let us walk in your strength, where Paul writes in Corinthians, that when we are weak, you are strong. So, Lord, let us all leave here today knowing we're called by you. And I pray now, Lord, as I come to a close, that we would commit our lives to you again. Or if there's somebody who hasn't, that right now they would hear you knocking at their door. That Jesus, only through you are we made righteous, are we made whole, are we made pure in God's eyes, because then we have your identity and we have a one-way ticket, Lord. I like what that guy said, these two midwives. They didn't fear that Pharaoh could end their life and bring death. They feared the God who could bring them eternal death, eternal separation in hell rather than heaven. Help us to fear you in that way. Help us to be encouraged today, Lord. Even as I close, and those of you that have some doubts, that's pride. That's the enemy whispering, God can't use you. You ain't bigger than God. He wants you to know, I've called you by name. I love you. You're mine. Let's be about the Father's business. So bless this wonderful church, Lord. In your name we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.